Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. Thanks for joining us. My name is Clint Kaler. I'm seated here with Mitch Clay. Welcome, Mitch.
Hello.
Great to have you back in the studio with the master caster, so they say.
So fitting. Such a good expression, a good description of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, it's always a joy and an honor to sit here with you, and we're just so enjoying what the Lord is doing in our midst, so enjoying what He's doing in people's lives who have been impacted by the things that we've been talking about, we've been teaching, and we've been declaring. And these are foundational things that God is doing, not just here where we're sitting and just off of Main Street in Joplin, Missouri, but really around the world. And you would know that better than anybody else because you, I think, are in a different country every other week, it seems like. So I enjoy hearing the stories of what's coming back because honestly, they're telling the same story of the things that we're teaching here. So I thought it'd be great today to just to hear some of what God's doing, and that's going to kind of tie into what we're going to be talking about today too.
Yeah. Well, you know, the message is the kingdom of God, and that's the rule, the reign, the influence of God in the earth in a manifested way. And so as I've been traveling, you know, most of my assignment is to the church. You know, I go to equip the church, to train, to empower, to, you know, encourage them to rise up and be who God's called them to be. And so I've got like the best job in the whole wide world. recently, I was in Africa in the nation of Kenya, and I had the distinct pleasure and the joy of visiting a place in a group of people who had been discipled for a number of years, 10 years or so, by a truly an apostolic company. And in other words, there was foundational doctrine, foundational teaching, understanding of the church, understanding of the kingdom, understanding of God's plans and what He's wanting to do. And so as a prophet, to come in that place was an absolute joy because the foundation was there. And so I wasn't coming in having to plow and dig up and, you know, root out and lots of the things that I normally do.
Yeah.
I literally could come in on that ground that already had been prepared. And we just had the time of our lives. And the church just so responded to the word of the Lord. And one of the things that I was emphasizing, in fact, we did three conferences in 3 weeks, but the theme was the eternal purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that today on the podcast. But the eternal purpose is so important because it calibrates that word that we're emphasizing. One of the things that we really believe God's wanting us to accomplish in this podcast is to calibrate leaders, to synchronize them to what God is doing. And so if you don't understand the eternal purpose, that plan that God had before time was, it'd be very easy to be out of sync, even if it's in the smallest way. But still out of sync is out of sync.
Right, know? Right.
So anyway, in Africa, it was really a joy to actually bring revelation and understanding on top of that foundational teachings that they had. And it really, it just was released. There was revelation that was released and just a joy and a momentum and just an encouragement that really had people's hope and really had their vision begin to be, to see what God was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And God, what God wanted to do so that they could line up their will, their desires, the focus of their ministry and so forth to that. And of course, when you get synced up, all the power of heaven becomes yours.
Mm.
And so anyway, that was a very joyful time. I was so grateful for meeting those new brothers there in Kenya. And then we've also had some time in Germany. And Europe is awakening. Well, I was so encouraged. Germany, Europe as a whole, has been called the graveyard of missionaries. It's been very hard ground and very difficult plowing for many, many years. But there is, I saw some cracks and some awakening. And there we were laboring with some groups that we'd known for several years now. And we just keep seeing advancement. And the young people, lots of young people are coming into the deeper things of God, and they're beginning to dedicate their lives to advancing the kingdom of God and the plans of God, not just old dead religion that's in these big, beautiful buildings they call churches, but there's no life whatsoever inside of them. And
right.
Young people are not interested in that. But when you start talking about the King and they start talking about joy and they start talking about real life and living, they're all in. They're looking for something to give their life to, and when Jesus is presented properly, they're more than happy to do that. So
yeah,
we've had some good times and good experiences in the last couple months.
Well, it seems like that God is speaking to people, and what He's speaking is a new word. It's a fresh thing to us in our generation, and the thing is that when we begin to hear what He's saying to us in our generation, the purpose is to calibrate us for His work in that generation. But the thing doesn't click into place, the puzzle pieces don't fit together until we understand it in the context of kingdom.
That's it.
Because then we have a foundation to spring off of, or like the picture we painted before, like muscles attaching to bones. You have leverage now, you have strength in motion. I feel like that's some of what you're experiencing when you go out and you deliver these things.
Yeah, it's so true what you just said. And the thing that I'm beginning to understand more and more is where you begin determines where you end.
Mm.
So if you begin incorrectly, you're going to end, off. And so this whole eternal purpose is so important, because you talk about calibration, you talk about synchronization. Once you understand that God had a plan before time began, and He never changes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no plan B.
Mm-hmm.
So once you understand that and you begin to understand what God is doing based on that starting point, all kinds of things will come in line, and things that need adjusted will become adjusted in our perceptions and our thinking.
I love it. And especially in this time, in this hour, where we have so much soundbite Christianity, it's really, it's the Word of God, and the soundbites sound good by themselves, but they're not serving, a lot of times, that eternal purpose. They're serving a self-help moment, or a get your marriage better moment, or raise your kids better moment. But they're not serving an eternal purpose where generation after generation is linking together to serve His purpose in the earth.
That's right.
And so that's why we feel such strength behind what we're doing with Lead the Kingdom. Is because we're speaking to that thing and it's beginning to resonate with heaven, and we're feeling the resonation back, and it's so stirring and so awakening, and it's so freeing. There's just so much hope and love and joy that comes alive when you begin to resonate, when your mind gets renewed and your whole life begins to participate in what heaven is actually doing. It's thrilling.
It really is.
So thrilling.
It really is. And I love what you just said, because there's nothing wrong with those emphasis, those little soundbite, those clips, those little topical things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's not put in order with something eternal, something greater than, then it's very easy to go off on tangents and become self-focused or this focus or that focus and not God's focus.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And it's real easy to just end up in the weeds, if you will.
Right. Well, we're going to dive into some Bible here in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to take a second to mention that we do a online leadership session about once a month. We get our computers out and we get in a webinar type scenario with other people, and we just talk about these things, and it's interactive, and we do some teaching, but really we just want to have a connection point where we can see people's faces and hear what God's doing, but also be able to speak into the thing that He's saying and the things that He's doing in this hour. So if you're interested in participating in that, just go to leadthekingdom.com and go to our events section. You can see all those there.
Amen. We've done two, and I believe they've been successful, and people have really enjoyed the interaction.
Yeah.
Be able to bring questions or their input, or like you said, where are they at? How's this playing out for me in my world?
And yeah. I love doing the podcast, but I think maybe that's my favorite thing. Yeah. The webinar is just so fun.
Yeah.
And also I mentioned too, you know, we call it a leadership session. Even if you're a traditional leader or a non-traditional, so maybe a leader inside of a church structure, or even not, or maybe you don't even know if you're a leader, you don't have any idea what that means, you would very much benefit, and we want you to be involved in it.
Sure. All are welcome.
All right. Well, let's talk about the eternal purposes. What do you say?
Amen. The eternal purpose, the actual phrase eternal purpose is in Ephesians 3, I believe it's 11. And it simply means, of course, that it's eternal. Eternal means it's not subject to time. So this is the most interesting thing to me, that something was happening before time. Because, you know, we're living in this time-space environment that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's difficult to think outside of a realm or a dimension that is not our own, you know, that's not common, normal to us. So to think that God, this invisible one, who was and is and will be, who has no beginning and no end, who needs nothing, he's completely self-sufficient in and of himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, is your mind blown yet?
Yeah.
Okay, but this one had a plan. And it wasn't a plan that began when there was an earth. And it wasn't a plan when there was a man, and it wasn't the plan that began when Adam sinned.
Right.
It began before there was time,
right,
before there was sin, before there was an earth, before there was a man, before anything that we know existed, God had this plan.
Yeah.
And so it's very important for us to understand this plan, because if you don't understand that there was a plan like this, then, like I said earlier, it's very easy to begin at some other point down the road. And then if you begin in the wrong place, you're going to end in the wrong place.
Right. Very good.
And let me just say this briefly as possible, that if, for instance, if you start, because I want to give an example to this, I believe it would help us.
Yeah.
If you start where Adam sinned, let's just say we start to try to begin our place of understanding. That's our context, if you will. We're in Adam sinned. And if we try to evaluate everything God is and God is doing from that place, then it would be very easy to have our ideas and our perspective skewed by the redemptive qualities.
Right.
Because that's what God began to do. Once Adam sinned, then the plan or the thing that unfolded was that God was now in the mode where he was rescuing man.
Right.
And so if we just kind of let that play out, then what you begin to see is that God is the Redeemer and that God's purpose is to rescue man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus then takes on the only role that Jesus would take on in that scenario is he is the Savior, he's the Deliverer, he's the Healer.
Right.
He's the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Lamb, all right? So what happens is if you're not careful with that, thinking things through just from that perspective, it becomes very man-centered, and the reason God exists is to serve man.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Jesus exists is to be the Savior of man.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the angels exist are to serve the heirs of salvation,
mm-hmm.
man. And it becomes very twisted and very skewed. And it simply won't lead you to the right place.
Right. And it's very limiting, because we talk about this purpose that was before the mess. I mean, we view it as God coming and cleaning up the mess and his love entering the scene then. But if we step back and elevate our perspective, like we talked about on the last leadership session, then we can begin to see, and not only see, we can begin to perceive him in a much greater capacity, like the revelation or the revealing of Christ. And he cannot be revealed if we've only got one small sliver of who he really is.
That's
you know,
right.
We have to take a step back and kind of understand these greater concepts like you're talking about.
Exactly. It's important, obviously. Praise God for the plan of salvation. Praise God that God didn't just leave us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He had a plan, and the plan included this redemptive component. But one thing I'll say right here is that I think is important and to keep our thoughts proper and correct is that the redemptive component of God's original plan was to restore us to the original plan.
Yeah.
See, the reason why Adam ate the fruit and died is because he chose to do his own thing.
Yeah.
In other words, he had his own plan, and he elevated his plan above the original plan, the eternal plan, or the plan that God had. So when Adam sinned, he died. God said, if you eat this fruit, you will die. He ate the fruit, he died. Well, he was separated from God, who is life. And so what happened was, through the redemption, the purpose of redemption is that God restored man to the original plan. Now, let's look in Ephesians chapter 1.
Yeah.
And get some verses to get the truth here from the scripture. So let's begin with verse number 3. This is Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay? So the place where our spiritual blessings have, past tense, been given to us is in Christ.
Wow. Wow, wow.
Yeah. That's important, okay? And then in verse 4, we see it says, according as he, God, has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, okay?
Yeah.
So this is the eternal plan. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Wow, so powerful.
Yeah, this is the eternal plan, okay?
Yeah.
Now, so why? So that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, verse 5 continues, and we're going to end with this verse here. But it says, having predestinated, this is past tense again, this happened before, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will.
Wow.
So his will was, he predetermined, he predestined. And that doesn't mean that everyone's going to be a son, but this God is showing his will, his desire. Mm-hmm. His desire was that all men would be his sons in Christ.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
From the beginning. Right?
From the beginning, okay? So now, so when Adam chose to do his own thing, he stepped away from the eternal purposes of God, the plan that God had originated from the beginning. He stepped away from that, and so God had a plan to rescue man. The creation of Adam included that Adam had the ability to make a choice
right. That
was contrary to the will of God.
Yeah.
This is why Adam wasn't a robot, and this is why Adam really proved that he loved God or he didn't love God.
Right.
That he honored God or he didn't love God.
Totally.
Or he loved himself more than God.
Right.
That component was in there. So then that potential for him to choose to love God or choose not to love God was in there.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that potential, and because God had this eternal plan, which was that his sons, the sons that he determined that he would have in Christ, would be there to reign with him, to rule with him forever, he had to have a component that was redemptive.
Right.
So many people said, well, Adam had to sin. That was part of God's plan. I don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
And the reason I don't believe that is because in Revelation chapter 13, it says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So in the same time that we're talking about, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. So God made provision for Adam's sin if he chose to sin before the foundation of the world. So when Adam did choose to sin, God then used that component of redemption to rescue man. And the purpose of that rescue was to restore man to that place that he originally had intended for man to be in Christ.
Oh, that's so powerful. And we even see that later in the language where it says that it pleased God that all the fullness should dwell in Christ. I mean, you already see again, that's not a new thought, that God should be pleased with the fullness of everything that he is dwelling in Christ, because it was from the beginning. It was from before our beginning. It's part of the eternal purpose.
That's right.
And that is what we're talking about. This is part of what Paul refers to as mystery of Christ.
Yes.
And these guys, and we were talking about it at a meeting recently, and you were just teaching on this, and I was so profound and so eye-opening that these early apostles and prophets carried the revelation of the mystery of Christ. And they carried this thing with power.
Yeah.
And that power that came from them as they declared this word of the Lord, this mystery of Christ, was not only, of course, just completely is like shock and awe to everyone that listened. They are, through this word that they're declaring about the revealing of the mystery of Christ, they are perpetuating and carrying out the work, the finished work that Jesus did.
That's so true. This restoration puts us in the position to be able to walk in the eternal plan.
That feels so good because we're back, we're on center now, we're calibrated.
Right.
We're walking in our lane. We are synced up with heaven. We're no longer, like he said, even Jesus said, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you as orphans.
That's
right. Before he died.
That's right.
And before he rose, he said, I'm sending another back to you, and this work is going to be carried on by my Spirit through you like that.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And even that, if you go to Galatians 4:6, it says that Spirit is the Spirit of his Son.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of the Son comes inside of us as sons because we have been restored to our position in the Son so that we can continue on the original plan.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. I don't know what people are listening or feeling right now, but to me, you use the word shock and awe. This just causes me to be in great awe of God and reverence, and it's such a holy thing, and that he included me in this plan from the beginning, and he didn't leave me outside, but he did whatever was necessary to bring me back in so that I could fulfill my eternal destiny that he had determined from the beginning.
It is amazing. I want to switch gears. I've heard you teach on this before, but I want you to say it again. And I can't remember the exact scripture reference. You'll know it right away when I say it. Take us on a little journey here and talk about how that governmental thing, that system thing, has been completely redeemed back.
Right.
What that means for us.
Right. It's in Colossians chapter 1. We'll go there in just a minute. I want to say something to kind of set this up. So when God created the earth, his intention was to bring heaven to the earth.
Right.
He wanted Adam to rule and reign and have dominion in the earth. And by doing that, he would do the will of the Father. And by doing the will of the Father, heaven would be in that place. Because that's where the Father rules, is heaven.
Yeah.
Okay? So when he created the earth, the life of God, the DNA of God, the essence of heaven was in the full creation. Now, one thing that people don't understand is how far-reaching were the effects of Adam's sin.
Exactly.
This rebellion, I can't quote the scripture exactly off the top of my head, but in Hebrews, I believe it's 8 or 9, somewhere there, it says that Jesus had to enter into the heavenly tabernacle and present his blood on the mercy seat in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't understand all this, but somehow the sin of Adam on the earth went all the way, and it even uses the verbiage to cleanse the utensils. This sin of Adam was far-reaching in its effects, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, when he chose to do his own thing, of course, he had help. The tempter was there. That subtle evil one was there.
Yeah.
And when he chose to obey the enemy, he submitted himself to the enemy, and that was the moment that the enemy came and literally disrupted heaven on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So all that God had ordained and God had created and God had put in order in the earth was now out of his order, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So there were systems that causes the earth to work. There were institutions, if you will. The family, the man and a woman,
mm-hmm.
the family, the marriage, all these things, even things of concerning the earth and animals and plants and everything, all these things that God had made perfect, and he said over and over, it is good,
yeah.
it is good.
Yeah.
And those things were put in order by God in the creation, but those things were affected by the sin of Adam and by the influence of the kingdom of darkness in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So now as we begin to consider redemption and the work of the cross, if we look at what Jesus did as he was the savior of mankind, and he is, and he did that, but if we see that as only his function, then we're going to miss some great, great, great depths of the work of his resurrection.
Right.
And so we find here in Colossians chapter 1, these amazing verses, starting with verse 16. For by him, Christ, Jesus, were all things created, things that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So here is the verse that tells us these things that I try to describe,
yeah.
these systems. So all of these authorities and these hierarchical systems, if you will, and so forth, as described here, they were created by Christ and for Christ, okay? And so many times when we read those things, we immediately think of the enemy, because this is the same list that's in Ephesians chapter 1. He says
right.
that Jesus has been raised up far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. It's a similar list there.
Right.
So we think hierarchical structure of the kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, these powers and these systems were in place before Adam sinned.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
That's now, powerful.
So now watch what happens here. So verse 17 says, and he is before all things, this is Christ, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's so important. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He is the one who's highly exalted, I think Passion says there.
That's right.
For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, this exalted one, should all fullness dwell. Glory. Now, verse 20, listen to this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, this is talk about redemption now, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now he's going to describe what are those all things.
Mm.
By himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. So the redemptive work of Christ was more than just forgiving you of your sins.
Right.
The redemptive work of Christ, including the resurrection power of Christ, literally restored everything back to its original purpose.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Passion, that last verse, read verse 20 in that Passion translation.
And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm.
The original intention.
That's mind-blowing. So the part about this that really impacts me, again, because we're reading this in the context of his eternal purpose, in the context of kingdom, and trying our best not to filter this through our upbringing of our local church experience, you know, the things that have impacted us so much as far as who we become, just renewing our mind again, trying to recalibrate ourselves to attain a higher perspective here, elevate our perspective, is that since we are a part of his eternal purpose and we can understand his eternal purpose, we become empowered to align with his eternal purpose in our own life. And that is thrilling because no longer do we exist solely to aid others in praying a prayer. Although many have come into the kingdom through praying a prayer. We're not going to devalue the importance of this. We're simply going to expand and shed light on the rest of the story. And that's why in the book of Acts and the entire New Testament, we hear these apostles preaching the mystery of Christ, revealing Christ, because the revelation of Christ is what begins to put all of these things back into order. It is the sound that resonates in the earth, that draws everything into order according to his eternal purpose. And that is that these systems that are so out of order in the earth right now, pick a system. You mentioned marriage. That's a big one today. And a lot of Christians grappling with how do we even interface with this issue where the family system, the family governmental aspect is crumbling. Well, how do we even interface with that? How do we say, besides just saying you're wrong, there's no power behind just saying you're wrong.
Right.
The power is in the revelation of his eternal purpose. The revealing of Christ in all of this picture begins to allow us to, with power, to engage the things that are in chaos and say, no, this is not righteous. This is not right. This has got God's rightness. This is not in line with his eternal purpose. And that's the problem.
The only power the enemy has, the only authority the enemy has, is deception. When born again people, children of God, do not know who they are, and they don't know what their purpose for being born again is, then they will live these mundane lives of maintaining, just waiting to either get raptured out of here or die and go to heaven, sit on a cloud, strum their harp for the rest of eternity.
Yep.
But I submit to you with all strength that is not the reason why Jesus was raised from the dead.
Right.
There is way more to this whole thing than that. And I love what you just said as we expand our perspective and we begin to understand who we are and why we exist and what Jesus did to restore us to that place of being put in back in line with the original plan. And then we begin to pray eternal prayers. And then we begin to prophesy to the heavenlies.
Man.
Then we begin to walk in the earth as sons of God. And and we begin to yield our bodies and our members of our body to the work of the Lord, to the work of the Father and the original intention that he had for us in our lives. Hey, the adventure is on. This is the practicality of all this.
Right. It sure is. It's really where the rubber meets the road, because this perspective is the perspective of a son and daughter in the family of the kingdom.
That's right.
This is the mind of Christ, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the thing that Jesus walked in. He walked in this revelation, and all of his purposes were backing up God's eternal purpose.
That's right.
Is going in the same direction. So now this really hits us practically. Okay, this activates us instead of becoming someone who just attends a church service. We now, as we have the revelation of this light, and now we're responsible for it. And this revelation, what it does is it begins to bring priorities. It realigns our priorities.
There you go.
It brings everything into order and helps, almost like a chiropractor. You go in, you're out of whack, you're walking sideways a little bit. And he goes in and cracks your bones, and he's like, oh, everything's in sync now and operating as it is intended. So one thing we can say about this is that although we do not want to devalue salvation, or that salvation experience is merely the gateway that empowers us and equips us and authorizes us to begin to operate in his eternal purposes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how we get in.
That's how we get in.
That's not the end. That's the beginning.
That is a glorious beginning.
It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
Well, that was a lot of meat right there. About 30 minutes of meat right there. This is changing my life, you know, and I trust as everyone that's hearing the sound of our voices, man, things are probably going off in you, and we just encourage you to respond to him, because as you respond to this, it's really going to activate and invite the revelation of the mystery of Christ into your life. And before you know it, things around you will start coming into order. Maybe things in your family, maybe things in your own life, maybe sickness in your body. The kingdom is salt, light, and leaven influence, bringing chaos back into order. Everything that's wrong being made right.
That's true.
As we walk in the earth.
That's true. And see, when you understand these things and you begin to synchronize yourself to the will and the purpose of God, the resistance that you have yielded to, you said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
There's things where we're rubbing on the edges of stuff because we don't know that sweet spot in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But once we begin to understand, oh, that's why I exist on the earth.
Yeah.
I'm not here to build my own kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm not here to promote myself. I'm not here to to do anything but please the Father and extend his kingdom and extend him, the invisible one, make him known in the earth.
Yeah.
And this is what we'll do for all eternity.
Oh, yeah.
And it's begun now.
Yeah. It's his pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ.
That's it, brother. That's it.
I'd love to just pray for people and see this revelation go deep and really seed itself. And even like maybe in the next day or two or three after you've heard this, that this word just continue to work in your life like a seed plant, just begin to put roots in. So, Father, we pray every heart, every ear, every mind, every eye be awakened to the revelation of the mystery of Christ.
Hallelujah.
That the eternal purposes of God would begin to be illuminated. Like Paul prayed that one time, that the eyes of our imagination would be illuminated with light, that we could perceive and take hold of this hope that you've called us to. So we just say, God, turn the lights on. Turn the lights on in every heart, every mind, every life. We activate you to step into sync with the kingdom, to get calibrated, to begin to walk in the authority that puts chaos into order. And so, Father, we thank you for every life. Seal it now. Do the work, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hey, friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.